All right, I'm going to go ahead and start off by praying, and then we'll jump right into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to acknowledge you this morning. God, you've been so good to us. We acknowledge that your presence is here, God, and we thank you for it. We thank you for getting us here safely and peacefully, Lord, and we are ready to hear your words. And so I pray that you would prepare our hearts and you would prepare our minds to receive what it is that you want to say to us. Let the meditation of my heart and my thoughts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You are my strength and you are my redeemer. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, so the title of my message this morning is Discovery. And most of us are familiar with the term discovery. It is the process of finding, realizing, or unearthing something that was previously unknown. It is the process of finding, realizing, or unearthing something that was previously unknown. Basically, you're learning something. You've learned something that you did not know before. You've gained some knowledge. You found something out. You've experienced something or realized something that you previously did not know. And I kind of feel like I am in a season of discovery. This is kind of a new year for me. I'm learning new things about ministry. Last year, I decided that I wanted to dedicate my life to ministry. I felt God was calling me to full-time ministry, and so I met with Pastor Ron, and I spoke with him about that, and he gave me an opportunity to do that. And so since then, everything has been new for me. Being in ministry has been new. And so I'm learning a lot of new things about ministry, and I'm also learning a lot of new things about myself as it pertains to ministry. So I get to discover some new things in this season, and I'm excited about that. And discovering new things, it can be exciting, like finding out you're expecting after you've been trying. That can be exciting news. It's a discovery. And sometimes we wish we hadn't discovered some things at all, like finding out about an unfavorable diagnosis. So sometimes discovering things doesn't always bring you joy. It doesn't always put a smile on your face. But the reality is, God intended that discovery and discovering be a part of life. Even the Lord hides things so that they might be discovered. Proverbs 25, verse 2 says, "It is the glory of the Lord to conceal a thing," or is the glory of God to conceal a thing, "but the glory of kings is to search it out." So even God likes to conceal things. He likes to hide things, to reveal things. And we should be searching and seeking those things out. We should be searching the Word of God for his mysteries and searching for and trying to understand these parables and these secrets and these hidden treasures that God has placed inside of his Word. So we should be discovering, and I think that God intended for discovery to be a part of life. And so this morning, we are going to be focusing on the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6, chapter 6 through chapter 8. So if you have your electronic Bibles or physical Bibles, you can take them out and turn to Judges chapter 6. That's where we'll be starting. And we're going to discover, along with some other things, that when God gets involved in the story, or when God gets involved, the story is subject to change. When God gets involved, the story is subject to change. Gideon was the son of Joash, who was an, I may pronounce this wrong, Abiezrite. There we go, Abiezrite. And we discover him in Judges chapter 6, verses 11. And when we find him near a terebinth tree in Ophrah, hiding wheat in a wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appears to him at that time. And just a little background, the Israelites, once again, they were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And if you read the book of Judges, you'll see this pattern kind of throughout the book of Judges, that the Israelites did evil, God punished them for it, they repented, God embraced them, redeemed them, and then they served him for a bit and somehow ended up serving these other false gods and these false idols once again. And so they had a pattern of kind of falling in and out of the will of God. And so the Lord decided that for 7 years he was going to give the Israelites into the hands of the Midianites. And the Midianites oppressed the Israelites. They ravaged them. They ruined the Israelites, their land and their community, so much so that they became impoverished. They became poor. They took a rich community and they ravaged it so much so, they ruined it so much so, they took from it so much so that it became a poor community. In fact, the Israelites, anything that they had, anything that they grew, whether it was crops, whatever it is that they produced, the Bible says that the Midianites would come in and seize it. They would take it. And so this is why we are finding Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verses 11. This is why we are finding him trying to hide wheat in a wine press. Because everything that the Israelites have is continually being taken from them. So we're going to pick up here in verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gideon, and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon, not yet realizing who it is that is speaking to him, responds in verse 13 saying, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Basically, what Gideon was saying was, Oh, please, not realizing that God is the one who's talking to him, as if this is just some other stranger or some other neighbor just talking to him. Oh, please, if God is with us, why is there so much bad in the world today? That's what Gideon was saying. Why is all of this going on if God is with us? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, the guy is having to hide wheat in a wine press. It's a pretty grim day for him. And where is all the stuff that he promised us? Where's my healing? Where's my peace? Where's my provision? Everything that I grow is being taken from me, God. How is the Lord with me? Have you ever felt like that in life? Like everything that you get is being taken. Everything that you grow, everything that you produce is being taken from you. That's kind of what Gideon was, how he felt. And where are the great works like that which our ancestors saw in Egypt? All the mighty things that God did. What about the fire and the pillar and the splitting of the Red Sea? What about all these things that he did? We don't see these wonders and miracles. There's no way that God can be with us. No, God is not with us. God has forsaken us and given us to our enemies. That's how Gideon felt. That's what he said. Verse 14, Gideon's still thinking that this is just some good advice. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Verse 15, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest, and I am the least in my father's house." Still not making any sense to him. The Lord is with us, how? And you want me to save Israel? How? My clan is weak, and I am the least. Verse 16, "And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" Now, Gideon was still not certain who is speaking to him at this time. So all this conversation that he's having, he's not 100% sure that this is the Lord who's talking to him. So Gideon decides to ask the Lord for a sign. He wants to verify, like, who is this You know, if this is true and I have found favor in your sight, let me make an offering for you, and I ask that you perform a sign. And so Gideon does make an offering. And in verse 21, it says, then the angel of the Lord, and so the, basically the offering Gideon makes is he makes food, he cooks some meat, he cooks some unleavened bread, and he makes some broth, and he presents this offering before the angel of the Lord. Then the angel of the Lord, in verse 21, put the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Verse 22, now Gideon perceived that this, now Gideon perceived that this was the angel of the Lord. And I kind of rephrased this to just kind of go along with the title of my message. Now Gideon had just discovered this whole person that I've been talking to this whole entire time, it was the Lord. Gideon, who had previously implied that God was not with them. Just some verses earlier, there's no way he's with us. Gideon, who had previously just stated that God had abandoned us. He's forsaken us and given us over to our enemies. Discovered about 0.5 seconds after God showed him that sign that it was indeed the Lord that he was talking to. God was with him. He was actually face to face with him. This wasn't just some casual conversation with a friend or neighbor. It wasn't just some good advice or encouragement. God had called Gideon to win the fight. But during the process of time between the moment God called Gideon and the moment Gideon defeats the Midianites, he has a series of discoveries that no doubt helped him accomplish the very thing that God called him to do. And so I want to just go over some things that Gideon discovered, that I believe that Gideon discovered, and I want to share them with you. One of the first things that I believe Gideon discovered on his journey was that God was with him. Just earlier, this wasn't even conceivable for Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. It wasn't even conceivable for him to think that God is with me because he was looking at everything that was going on in his life. He was looking at his circumstances and saying, there's no way. He was equating the ruin and the disaster and everything that was happening to them, that the Midianites was doing them, he was equating that to the absence of God. Surely God cannot be with me. Judges chapter 6, 36 through 9, we find that Gideon, if you go on and read the chapter, read the some verses ahead, we find that Gideon asked the Lord for a sign. So God has now called Gideon. He's called him to defeat the Midianites. Gideon has found out this is the Lord. And so now Gideon is wanting to test and verify that God is with me. Lord, let me know that you are going to, that I have found favor in your sight. And so in Judges chapter 6, verses 36 through verses 9, Gideon asks the Lord the sign of the fleece. What he does is he takes the fleece and he lays it on the ground and he asks the Lord, if you are with me, let there be no dew on the ground in the morning and let it only be on the fleece. And the Lord performs that sign. And when the morning comes, Gideon, he grabs the fleece and he wrings it out, and it's the only thing that is wet. And so Gideon says, okay, let me, one more test. Please don't be angry with me, Lord. I just want to confirm that you truly are with me. And he says, now I'm going to do that same thing. I'm going to lay the fleece on the ground, but let the ground just have dew on it, and the fleece be completely dry this time. And God obliged him again. And when Gideon got up the next morning, the fleece was dry and all of the ground was wet. It had dew on it. Gideon, from that point on, I believed, realized that God is with me and that I can do this. One of the second things that I believe Gideon discovered, he discovered that he could do exactly what God called him to do. Judges chapter 7, verses 9 through 14, I'm going to read this. And it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down to the camp, for I have delivered it into your hands. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Pur, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with his servant to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sands by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come down, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Then his companion answered him and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hands, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." Now, the Lord is telling him, is getting ready to show Gideon, "Hey, I am going to give this battle into your hand. You are going to be able to do what I called you to do. But just in case you are afraid, just in case you are still having some doubt, go down to the camp, take your servant with you, and I'm going to cause you to overhear a conversation." Now, Gideon must have been afraid because he does exactly that. He must have still been a little reluctant about what God has called him to do, because he does exactly that. He goes down to the camp, and he hears what is being said. And the people in the camp, the Midianites and the Amalekites, there's a couple of guys there, and they're having a conversation about a dream one of them had. And they're literally coming out of their mouth and saying, "Surely the meaning of this dream is Gideon is coming with his sword, and God has delivered the whole camp into his hand." And this was enough to embolden Gideon. After hearing that, that was enough to give him confidence. It's coming out of your enemy's mouth. I don't even know how they knew Gideon. Your enemies are saying, "God has given us into his hands." Judges 7 and verse 15, after being emboldened, Gideon goes back to the camp and he says, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." I believe it's during that time Gideon discovered that he can actually do this. He can do what God has called him to do. And the last thing that I believe Gideon discovered is that he discovered who God said he was. One of the first things that God said to Gideon when he appeared to him was, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Judges 7, verses 14 says, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel, and to his hands God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." Judges 8:28 says, "Thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was quiet 40 years in the days of Gideon." And I think that in that moment where Gideon was hearing his enemies talk about that he is the man coming with the sword, was the same moment that God confirmed to him that "You are who I said you are. You are this mighty man of valor." And Gideon goes on to defeat the Midianites. We read in Judges chapter 8, verse 28. He defeats them. And for 40 years, there is peace. So I believe that Gideon discovered that God was with him. I believe that Gideon discovered that he could do what God called him to do. And I believe that Gideon discovered that he was exactly who God said he was. Those were three things. Those are the three things I believe he discovered. But I also made some discoveries as I was reading the Word of God and as I was reading over this story. And I hope that you are also able to make some discoveries as we continue with the Word of God. But one of the things that I discovered was God has a pattern of choosing the least, the weak, the unqualified, the foolish, and the willing to further his plans. Judges 6:15, we hear Gideon saying, "Indeed, my clan is the weakest, and I am the least in my father's house." Gideon didn't just believe that God had forsaken him. He didn't believe in himself. He didn't believe that God could use him to save Israel. "I'm the least. I'm the black sheep in my family. My entire clan is not even strong. We're the weakest among all the other clans. How is it that you can use someone like me to save Israel? How is it that you can use someone like me to further your plan?" He was the least. And it kind of reminds you of all those other biblical characters who were counted out by others or who counted themselves out, like David and Moses, Jeremiah, and so many others. One other thing I discovered is God makes the least of us princes, priests, rulers, prophets, and kings. He vindicates the weak, and he makes them strong. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "God deliberately chose the weak to put to shame the things that are mighty in the world." God deliberately chooses the weak to confound the things that are mighty in this world. And that's why we can say, "Now let the weak say, I am strong." Another thing that I discovered is that God qualifies the called. And what qualifies us to begin with is the fact that we are the least. It is the fact that we are weak. It is the fact that we are in need of a Savior. It is the fact that we are in need of Jesus. That's what qualifies us to begin with. And another thing that I discovered is that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So here are some takeaways. Takeaway number one, you can discover God for yourself. Gideon was having an encounter with the God of Israel, and he didn't even realize it. He didn't even realize who it was he was talking to. But we don't have to have that same kind of experience that Gideon had. You can discover the Lord for yourself. Right now, God is available. Right now, God is calling you just like he was calling Gideon. Right now, the Lord is appearing to you just like he was appearing to Gideon. And you can find out about him for yourself. You can get to know God for yourself. When Gideon finally realized who it was he was talking to in Judges 6:22, he says, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Now, Gideon was fearing his life. He was fearing that he was going to die after he had encountered the Lord face to face. And God had to say to him, "Peace, it's okay, you're not going to die." But I put that in there to make the point that Gideon had a realization. Now he knew that he knew that he knew this was the Lord who I was speaking to. You can have that same kind of experience. Another takeaway, you are who God says you are. Don't let the lot that you've been given in life determine the effectiveness of your God. Gideon was given a lot. His clan was the weakest. And he was the least. But if Gideon had allowed that to just be the synopsis of his story, if he had allowed that to just be all that it was, he would have never defeated the Midianites. But it was because that Gideon trusted in God and trusted in who God had called him that he was able to go and do what God had called him to do. God knew what Gideon's lot was before he called him. God knows your circumstance as well. And he knew it before he called you, and he still called you. Don't let the lot you have been given in life determine your effectiveness for God. And remember that when God gets involved, the story is subject to change. And finally, my last takeaway, if God has called you to it, he will see you through it. If God has called you to it, he will see you through it. It was because God was with Gideon that he was triumphant and victorious. Gideon didn't just accomplish this in his own strength. He didn't just accomplish this in his own might. It was because the Lord was with him. If you read the story, you'll see the inner workings of God. You'll see the hand of God throughout the entire story. But because God was with him, Gideon could do. If God has called you to it, he'll be with you, and he will see you through it. It's his plans, not ours. And all we have to do is just say yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.